Well, welcome back. Day 2, Creating Lasting Change, the 7 Master Steps for Maximum Impact. Our mission? Become more effective leaders. Become agents of change. Be able to step into any situation and make a difference. Well, yesterday I dumped the whole load on you. How'd you hold up? Did you do your homework? Did you take a little time to capture and be honest with yourself about which of the 6 human needs are the driving force for you? Which are the top 2? Because they guide you. They affect you more than almost anything else. Did you take a look at what are some of the areas of your life that you're really pleased with? And what is happening in your life? How do your life conditions match your blueprint? Did you take a look at some places where you're not so thrilled? And did you notice where the difference was? How your life conditions don't quite equal your blueprint, or maybe fall short of that? And did you make any decisions about what you need to change in your life conditions or in your blueprint? If not, if you want to influence other people, I know it's tough on yourself, but you might be a good place to start. Today, we're going to lay the foundation very quickly for the 7 master steps. These steps that will help you create lasting change in anyone you want to have an impact on. In fact, what I can promise you, if you follow these steps and you really are committed to them, you're consistent in their approach, you're not going to bump into anything you're not going to be able to help break the pattern on or help someone make a change with. You really will be an effective agent of change. And again, that's proven over 3 decades in just about every kind of environment you can imagine, from sports to politics to working with scientists or business people, prisoners, children, you name it. So it does take creativity. The art of your contribution as a leader or a change agent is going to be what you bring to the table. What I want to bring to you is a format that can kind of guide you. And so I want to answer 2 questions here. First, what do you really need to know to help anybody really make a lasting change? And there are 3 things. The first thing you have to know, whether you're working with a friend or an associate or want to make a difference with your kids, or you're a therapist, or you're working with somebody that you're managing, always, if you want to have an impact, the first thing you have to understand is, what does this person need and what do they want? Now, here's the good news. If you don't know what somebody needs and wants, what are your chances of influencing them? Remember the fundamental principle I brought up yesterday? To influence someone else, you have to know what already influences them. If I try to convince you to do something, and I start telling you things that you disagree with, that you don't believe, you're going to shut me down in a heartbeat. If you don't do it verbally or directly, you're going to do it in your head. If you're going to be able to arrive at influencing someone, leading someone, you've got to enter their world. You can't enter the world unless you understand it a bit. Now, here's the good news. You already know what people need. We've described 6 human needs that are universal. Everybody needs all 6. What are they? Certainty, you remember. Uncertainty or variety. Significance, feeling unique, special, important, feeling needed. The feeling of connection and love. And then the primary needs, the needs of the spirit. We must grow and we must contribute. And remember, everybody meets the first 4 needs. And if they work harder or if they have to lie to themselves, but very few people meet the final 2 where fulfillment really shows up. So we know what needs they're after. What we really want to know is, what do they want? And people speak in codes. So if you said to somebody, okay, well, what do you really want? And they say, well, I want to make $1 billion. You instantly know which of the 6 needs they value most. What need structure is most important to that person if they say, I want to make $1 billion? Not hard to figure out. Significance with a capital S. It's not good. It's not bad. It just is. That's what's driving them. Somebody else says, well, what's most important to me is getting control of my life and just feeling, I feel like I'm out of control. I want to feel like I know what's going to happen and how it's going to happen and not have so much uncertainty in my life. Then clearly, what is that person's driving need? Certainty. So you get the sense of this. So when someone tells you what they want, they start to reveal to you their blueprint. In other words, which needs are most important to them and their beliefs about how to meet them. So if you say, well, tell me what you really want, and the person says, well, gosh, I want to get control of my life. I'm just tired of feeling like I'm out of control. I never know what's going to happen. It's always changing. I want more security in my life. I'm tired of being out of control. Then what are they after? They're after the need of certainty. Their belief is the way to get it is through the value of controlling things. That's their model of the world. That's their blueprint. And right now, their life conditions don't match their blueprint. So you begin to understand what they're after. And now you can begin to assist them because you know what the target is. You know what they're going after. You can also predict what their problems are. Somebody's always trying to be in control of something. What could you predict would be their problem? Well, the problem is they're always going to be stressed because you can't control everything. You can't control the weather. You can influence other people, but you can't control them. Your kids are still going to make their own choices at times. You can influence them again, but you're not going to always control it. We know that in our hearts if we're honest with ourselves. So somebody's trying to control everything is going to be stressed all the time because their model produces stress. That blueprint will equal stress a good portion of the time. Does this give you some kind of insight? Again, I'm not going to go through this in total detail. We'll walk through this later, but that's the first thing you got to know. Know what's driving the game. Know what they need. Know what they want. Now, the second thing you got to know is what's preventing them from getting it. That's the second thing you got to know. What's getting in the way? And we've already described what that is. There are two things that keep people from getting what they want. Number one is the state they're in. Have you ever been a place where, you know, shoot, you can't come up with the answer? You can't even remember a word you know, like how to spell a difficult word like the, or your home telephone number or address? Why don't you know the answer? What's getting in the way? You're in a lousy state. You're in a stupid state. A few minutes later, oh, I remember. I remember my email. I remember my phone number. I remember how to spell that word. Haven't you been in those places where the state you're in kept you from getting what you want? So sometimes people are just, they can't get to feeling love because they're so angry. It's a pattern of focus. It's a pattern of language that makes them angry. So we can change that person's pattern and suddenly they'll feel significant. They'll feel loved. They'll feel connected. Or the second thing that affects getting what they want might be their beliefs or the emotional pattern that they get into most often. That's their model of the world. So if you want to make a change with somebody, first, you got to know what it is they want and need, and that'll tell you a lot. Second is you got to know what's preventing them from getting there. What belief system? What mindset? What way of using their body that's putting them in a state where they can't come up with the answer? What focus is keeping them from getting there? What language patterns? What's preventing them? And then finally, number three, you got to be able to understand how to get them to where they want to be. How do you get them to change their life conditions or change their blueprint? And to do that, I've refined 7 simple master steps to changing anybody. Now, where do these come from? Well, they came from my life experience. I remember very early in my life, I started studying Ericksonian patterns and, NLP and Gestalt and all these different approaches. And I remember I went through, one of these classes, for example, NLP, and I learned from John Grinder, one of the co-founders of NLP. He was a brilliant, brilliant man. And I got a chance to witness his work and learn from him. But after the first 4 days of learning in the 6-month program, I was on fire. Because, at the end of each day, I would write down everything he said, every metaphor, every story, every example, every distinction that he made, anything I learned. I made myself pull it back out of my head. And then I try to find a way to organize it. Because it was all these gems, but there was no structure to it. It was like I was learning all these tools. And I thought, if you want to get a result, you can teach a dog new tricks. He was teaching me these great tricks on how to produce a result. But what I was interested in is knowing why they worked. And so interestingly enough, I came out of his programs and I was on fire. And I would turn to people in the class. In those days, it was mostly marriage and family counselors, psychologists, and psychiatrists. And I wasn't any of those things. I was just a guy that wanted to help people. So after the first 4 days of learning how we could help people to, for example, wipe out a lifetime phobia in less than an hour, something that traditionally could take years to do, I turned to these psychologists and my psychiatrists and I said, hey guys, let's go find some phobics and cure them. And they're all looking at me like, you're obviously not an educated man. This is a 6-month training. You got to go through all 6 months and then you got to be tested in these things. And if you pass the testing, then you get certified. And then once you're certified, you can do this. And I thought, what are you talking about? I'm a business guy. You don't wait for somebody to certify you before you go do something. So I said, I want to help somebody tonight. And it was 11 o'clock at night in Los Angeles, California. We were staying at the Holiday Inn there doing a class off Century Boulevard right around the corner from the airport. And I thought, where do you go at 11 o'clock at night to help somebody? Where do you find somebody who needs help at 11 o'clock at night in Los Angeles? And I thought, Denny's. Anybody at Denny's at 11 o'clock at night needs help. So that's where I started, literally. I went down the street. It was only a block away. Went into Denny's, found this poor old man crunched over, the counter there. And I went up to him, sir, tell me what it is you need. What is it you want? What do you need to change? I have the ability to change anything. And I got, completely over the top. And I'm smacking my chest and being all excited. And I learned very quickly this is not the best approach. So I went up to Canada, to Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and that's where I started my career. In fact, it's kind of ironic. That's where I am right now in a studio talking to you. And so the way I built it was by challenging people. Actually, originally, challenging traditional psychologists and psychiatrists and saying, listen, if you think what I'm saying is an exaggeration, bring me one of your patients. I do these free guest events. Come, I'll do a demonstration on stage. Bring me one of the patients you've never been able to cure. That was my standard tool. It happened by accident. I was on a radio show, and this psychiatrist called up and started attacking me. And, you know, I said, sir, you never met me. You never met any of my clients. You're calling me a liar and a charlatan. And I basically developed a technique of entrapping him into having to basically put up or shut up. And so for the first, I don't know, 6, 9, 10 months of me doing this, that was my signature. I was going to conquer these psychologists and show them, you know, how this work could be done so much better. And fortunately, I wasn't right. I wasn't successful all the time, but I was always successful publicly. So that was very helpful and encouraged me enormously. And I made a lot of distinctions. But the real value was I was making all these changes happen. And so I got a lot of attention, including John Grinder's, and people are saying, how is he doing this? He's using the same techniques we're doing. How is he producing these changes so powerfully, so quickly? I took people who had been stuttering. No one taught me how to stop stuttering, but I figured out the pattern. It took me several hours. I was sweating. I began to wonder if I could pull it off, but I began to realize, look, this person only stutters when they get in certain states. You know, they didn't stutter on every word. They didn't stutter every situation. When they got scared, they stuttered. When they thought of certain words, they stuttered. So I started watching the body. I said, stuttering is a state. And I began to see that when this person stuttered, sure enough, they changed their physical body. They would, for example, they take a big breath in, and then they'd start to try to talk, but not release the air. And all this pressure would build up in their body, and all of a sudden, all the air would come out at once, and sure enough, they'd stutter. Or they'd try to start talking without taking any air in. So there was no air going through their voice box. And then they'd suck in the air and shove out all this air. And sure enough, again, they'd stutter. So I realized they were stopping the flow of the air through the voice box. So I'd say to this person, listen, I want you to sing that word, shout that word, the word they'd normally stumble on. And they couldn't stutter. So then now that you had quite an interesting pattern erupt because I'd say stutter and they couldn't do it. And so now I had this cool technique. So I kept creating all these different approaches. But what was interesting was I began to look at to see what was it I was doing that was helping me succeed that was different. Part of it was a mindset, that's for sure, you know, a passion and intensity. But the other part of it was I had a sequence of things I did. What I found is ideally in trying to create an impact on somebody's life and trying to influence them for a greater good, there's a sequence of things that are important to go through to have that impact. If you step out of the sequence, it's okay, but you tend to have the most power if you follow the sequence.